I was visiting with a family of a friend when I was out of town, and after a great dinner, the parents excused themselves and hustled the kids off to bed. And they left me in the living room with the family pet, a large, sleek greyhound. Earlier in the evening, I'd watched the kids roll on the floor playing with their beloved dog. "That's a full-blooded greyhound there," said my friend. "He once raced professionally down in Florida. Then we got him after he was done. Great dog with the kids, that greyhound." And while I was sitting there alone for a few minutes with the dog turned to me and asked, "Is this your first trip to Oregon?" "Well, no," I answered. "I went up to school here a long time ago." "Well, I guess you heard I came up from Miami," said the greyhound. "Oh, yeah, you retired?" I asked. "No, is that what they told you?" "No, I didn't retire. I tell you, I spent 10 years as a professional racing greyhound. That means 10 years of running around that track day after day, 7 days a week, chasing that rabbit. Well, one day, I got up close. I got a good look at that rabbit. Do you know what? It's fake! I've spent my whole life chasing a fake rabbit. I didn't retire. I quit." I confess, that actually happened to another preacher, but I just had to use it. Our greyhound friend echoes something we know. However, it's hard to run the race. Day after day, 7 days a week, it's hard. It doesn't matter whether we are sleek, fast, and out front, or huffing and puffing, trying to keep up in the rear. And we've probably found ourselves in both of those situations. Either way, it's hard. It's hard, especially when we discover that the rabbits that we have been chasing are fake. It's hard when what we thought was our focus, our goal, turns out to be something different than we expected. It's hard when our lives become wrapped up in effort that doesn't reward us like we had hoped. I think we all have our share of fake rabbits in our lives. Our society excels at making them look very real, very lifelike, very seductive. Rabbits like the merry-go-round of material possessions and affluent life. Rabbits like having enough not to worry. Rabbits like having a fun life. Self-centered life that comes at the cost of depth and connection with neighbor. The rabbit of having a physical body that is without flaw, that is healthy and looks good. The rabbit of that Oprah-fied, doctor-filled, wonderfully, absolutely rewarding, always smiling relationship with the perfect partner or friend. Rabbit of the family that it really is like the image that we project on Sunday. The rabbit of the absolutely defined or clearly drawn faith or political ideology that answers every question. The church that is pure. The world is full of fake rabbits that we chase and chase. Chase until we find out that they are not what we thought they were. So, what are the rabbits in your life? Have you gotten close to them? What do they look like when you do? What do you think would happen if you actually caught it? Do you think it would give you what you want, what you expect? It's not that many of our rabbits are necessarily bad, providing for ourselves and our own, having fun, Having healthy bodies and healthy relationships, healthy communities and healthy churches, there's nothing wrong with these things. It's just that when we chase these things, first and foremost, when we drive toward them to the exclusion of all else, they, in theological language, become idols. Rabbits racing just ahead of us, with full attainment just out of our reach. And as idols, they are just as dead as the rabbit chased by our friend the greyhound. When we chase fake rabbits, our lives tend to lose balance, and everything else outside our focus becomes neglected or warped to serve our own pursuit. Jesus this morning, as he sat with his disciples and the crowd, tells us about a different focus, a contrasting goal for our lives. When we trip over it like a treasure hidden in a field, or find it like a fine one-of-a-kind pearl mixed in with ordinary ones, when we discover it, when we turn our lives toward it, and we strive for it. It's a radical reorientation that we strive for. It shapes the rest of our lives. And instead of chasing fake rabbits, Jesus invites us to discover the treasure, the pearl of the kingdom of heaven. I have to admit to you, when I wrote that line, I wrote it down, actually I tapped it in, and I looked at it a long time. Jesus invites us to discover the kingdom of heaven. And I kept thinking, what does that mean? Where do I go from here? That's not an easy question to answer. Jesus, any help here would be deeply appreciated. What does it mean to discover the kingdom of heaven? It might be easier to say what it is not, looking at the history of the world and the story of the church and the richness and diversity of Scripture. I don't think it's a doctrine or a set of rules or belonging to the right church. I don't think it's simply a place in the future, the kingdom of heaven. I'll end up there when I die and that's it. Because too many of Jesus' parables, too much of his life, are all about the present, about the here and now. Well, if it's not these things, then what is it? The kingdom of heaven is like what?
I wish I had a final and complete answer this morning. If you had one, I'd love to hear it. In a world where tragedies like what happened in Norway happen, and where too few have too much and too many have not enough, and in a world full of fake rabbits, I'd love it if we'd all discover what is real, what is life-giving, what is affirming, and what is healing. Jesus, could you help us? I know the disciples at the end of Jesus' teaching, when Jesus asked them, did you understand everything I told you? And they said, oh, sure. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, I did. Gotcha.
But as the story progresses, it becomes very clear that they understand very, very little. And it took them a long time. It took them a long journey before they seemed to get it at all.
And I struggled for a while as to what I would say at this point. Preachers hate not having answers.
I guess we will have to work on that together. And maybe that's the point.
Maybe that's why Jesus taught with these mysterious stories, the ones that have different meanings and different endings that we can imagine. Maybe that's why there are four Gospels instead of one. Maybe that's why we all see things from our own limited perspective rather than a single perspective.
Maybe it's because discovering the kingdom of heaven is the journey of discovering what is real, what is honest, what is loving in you and in me. Maybe it is because that the journey of heaven, discovering the kingdom of heaven, is a journey that we make together. Me helping you and you helping me. What if discovering the kingdom of heaven is like looking at life through the lens of loving God and loving neighbor, and you and I working out how that looks like in the here and now, right here and right now? What if it takes more than a preacher, more than one story, more than one idea, more than one ideology or perspective? What if discovering the kingdom of heaven takes all of us together to find out what it means? What if it takes a whole net of fish, some good, some bad, some better, some worse? What if it takes that whole net full of fish to figure out what is real? What is not? So we can sit on the beach together saying, no, yeah, no, yeah. What if it means that I need you and you need me? What if it's helping each other expose the fake rabbits in our lives, the fake rabbits among us, and helping each other point out the real ones? I tell you, I'm hungry for what is real. I'm hungry for what is lasting. I'm hungry for what is good. And I'm eager to find that treasure of God that puts all the other rabbits in my life in proper perspective. So I ask you, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Is it like a hole-in-one in golf? Is it the wife who forgives the husband when he messes up bad? Is the kingdom of heaven like a wife who says, okay, now it's time for you to put that garbage disposal that's been sitting in the garage, it's time for you to put it in. I want you to do it today. Is the kingdom of heaven like that? I won't mention any names. It's anonymous. Is the kingdom of heaven like a parent telling a child, would you please pick up that room? I can barely make it in the door. Is the kingdom of heaven like, Mom, Dad, please get off my case. You told me already. It'll get done. Don't worry about it. Is the kingdom of heaven like that? Is the kingdom of heaven like laughing around the dinner table? Or riding up to the top of the mountain on a bicycle, or hiking up and having the view take your breath away? The kingdom of heaven like that? The kingdom of heaven like watching your children grow and learn and teach you things? Is the kingdom of heaven like Democrats and Republicans working together? I don't think we'll ever see it. Hope is eternal. Is the kingdom of heaven like a child caring for a parent when the time comes? The Bible tells us that scribes trained for the kingdom take out what is old and what is new. Does that mean that the kingdom of heaven is like a pioneer? Someone who braves the unknown for new frontiers, taking with her that which is best of the old world, which she knows. The kingdom of heaven like that? I'll tell you what. I'll show you my pearls if you show me yours. And together we'll discover what it means to experience the kingdom of heaven. And just if we share, maybe, just maybe, the pearls become seeds. I know I'm mixing my metaphors, but hey, Jesus did it. Seeds that start from these small, teeny things and become wonderfully large bushes so that more birds can come and find their nests. The kingdom of heaven like that? Sharing our pearls, sharing our treasure, sharing what we have with those who need. What's the kingdom of heaven like?
Well, I have to tell you, after the first service, we have this quilt. And we use it in the first service to put over the table for the first service. And I was standing there after the service, and Joyce Davis comes up, and she admires the quilt, and my wife made it. You tell her I said that, okay? It's lovely, isn't it? And Joyce pointed out something I'd never seen before. She said, you know, there are chickens in there. And there are. Do you see that? Right here. And Joyce pointed out something I'd never seen before. There's always something new to discover.
And then after, I said, Joyce, do you mind? We were standing in a group. She said, do you mind if I use that in the second service? Just, you pointed out something I'd never seen before. That's a good, you know, kind of metaphor. And she said, yeah. And then somebody else said, well, yeah, you start with rabbits, and then you go with chickens, and then you're going to have pigs and cows and dogs and cats. You'll have a whole farmyard full of life. And I said, that's it. That's what we have together, discovering the gift of life, each making our own little cackling noises. Eating, enjoying life, discovering life together. That, my friends, is the kingdom of heaven. So tell me.